Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and the Renaissance Ballroom and Casino at 138th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard in Harlem was once the host to dances, films, basketball games, and political meetings. It closed in the 70s and fell into serious disrepair. Now, no one disputes that it had an illustrious history, and the Abyssinian Development Corporation purchased the building in 1991 and breaks ground tomorrow on what it calls the revitalization of the Rennie. But the Reverend Calvin Butts, chair of the ADC and pastor of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, along with former Mayor David Dinkins, fought to prevent landmark status for the building. Would landmark status prevent recovery and growth in Harlem? When does landmark protection preserve essential history, and when does it preserve neglect? In a few minutes, we'll hear from Sheena Wright, the president and CEO of the Abyssinian Development Corporation, about their plans for the Rennie and why they opposed landmark status. But first, we're joined by Michael Henry Adams, author of the book Harlem Lost and Found, who questions the decision not to offer landmark protection to the Renaissance Ballroom. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Yes, good morning, Brian.
Tell us a little bit about the history, first of all, as a historian of the Renaissance Ballroom and why you think of it as a landmark.
Well, it's particularly unique in that it was developed by Caribbeans, immigrants to Harlem, who were followers of Marcus Garvey, who were members of his Universal Negro Improvement Association, and who wanted to create black-owned businesses. And so they created the Renaissance as a venue that would be able to serve all of the African-American cultural capital in Harlem in the 1920s. And they hired the leading theater architect in the city, Harry Crichton Ingalls and F. Burrell Hoffman, and really built a wonderful complex where you had great jazz bands and the Harlem Wrens basketball team, which Kareem Abdul-Jabbar recently wrote about. And they all were there. Ironically, David Dinkins' wedding reception was held at this building. Mm. During the Great Depression, these Caribbean immigrants lost control of the Renaissance, and one of them was so distraught, the head of their syndicate, that he went to his house near Stryver's Row and committed suicide. Mm. So to me, it's a particularly poignant African-American landmark, as is the Harlem YWCA, trade school, which was designed as a proto-modernist building in 1930 and is supposed to be demolished as a part of this project, only so that one can be able to see the side of the Abyssinian Baptist Church. And another element of the project which is so disturbing to me is that here's the Abyssinian Development Corporation. They're going to make money in the short term. They're building this luxury tower that's going to have a fig leaf of a little tiny bit of, you know, 20% of low-income housing, but a luxury tower. And who are the people who are buying $800,000 and $2 million apartments in Harlem? They're mostly people from outside of the community. They're primarily people who are not African-American, because most African-Americans, if they have $2 million, they want a house with, two cars and a swimming pool in some suburban community. Mm-hmm. So what they are unwittingly doing, or I hope unwittingly, is they are evaporating the last vestige of political power on Manhattan Island. They're contributing to that diminution of African-American political power, and that's so amazing to me. I mean, the notion that somehow landmarking is in opposition to economic development simply belies the success of places like Soho and Tribeca and Greenwich Village, which are landmarked in their entirety.
Wouldn't it presumably be mostly African Americans, wealthier African Americans, who'd be living in this luxury housing at 138th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard?
Well, I would ask you to look at the luxury towers that have gone up all over Harlem and to see what percentage of new residents are African-American and what percent are not. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest to you that that's not the case. The reality is there are more white people in America, and there are more white people who have less credit card debt and less student loan debt. And for African Americans, of course, we have this history that makes the allure of the suburbs and the American dream of your own car and your garage and your swimming pool so alluring, because it's been denied us for such a long time. So there are lots of people who, that isn't to say that there aren't people who would like to live in Harlem who are African American, but for most people who are African American who would most like to live here, it is so it's as unaffordable as living in Park Slope or Fort Greene or anywhere else.
Michael Henry Adams, Harlem historian, thank you very much for giving us your view on the non-landmarking of the Renaissance Ballroom and Casino at 138th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard in Harlem. We're going to get the pro side in a minute. And with me now is Sheena Wright, the president and CEO of the Abyssinian Development Corporation, ready to celebrate years of work that have gone into the plans for the Renaissance Ballroom project that breaks ground tomorrow. Welcome to WNYC, Sheena Wright.
Thank you very much.
Talk about your plans. Talk about what happens tomorrow. Talk about your vision.
Well, we are so excited to breathe life once again into a very important historic facility in our neighborhood. Before I begin about our plans, I just first have to just talk about a couple of just the glaring inaccuracies in Michael Henry Adams' description of our project. One, Abyssinian Development Corporation has never, ever created one luxury unit. Everything that we have done has been for low and middle income families.
That's going to be the case here?
It's going to be a mixed-income housing development, absolutely. To suggest that it's an 80-20 luxury tower is just completely false. Another, that we're tearing down the Y simply to see the side of the church, is also ridiculous and untrue. And it would have been very interesting if Mr. Adams had actually attended the Landmarks hearing that was standing room only, where we had preservationists come out and support our application to decalender the site, then I think he would have a better sense of what was actually happening and what was actually going on. And if he wanted to express a concern, he really should have expressed it at that time. But what we are planning to do...
One thing about that. One of his issues is that there is an unequal standard applied to preserving historic buildings in Harlem and other black areas, but particularly Harlem, and other historically white parts of the city. And so things like the Renaissance in its older form, things like the Y even with its history, may have been preserved if they were in Soho or somewhere else, but get overlooked as a piece of history in Harlem. That's one of his main concerns.
That is a legitimate concern. I think it's an absolutely legitimate concern. There's no institution that is more concerned about preserving and maintaining and sustaining the history of a community than Abyssinian as an institution. That is just unassailable. But there are instances where it is inappropriate to have a landmark designation on a building, and it will hamper the future development and sustainability and revitalization of that very culture that we're trying to preserve. That's why the Landmarks Preservation Committee came out in support of us. So that's a citywide group that is focused and concerned around landmarks issues, obviously, throughout the city. But they stood up in the hearing in support of what our plan was.
Now tell us about what's going to happen there and why you're excited about it.
What is going to happen there? Abyssinian Baptist Church has been in this neighborhood for over 80 years. We have witnessed firsthand the Harlem Renaissance and participated in it, as well as Harlem's subsequent decline. And we have a comprehensive plan where we did socio-demographic study of the surrounding area, educational attainment, income, all of that, workforce issues. And so we want to respond to the needs of this neighborhood and this community and build something that is going to serve those needs and help for the long-term sustainability and preservation. Our plan is that we're developing a state-of-the-art cultural space because culture is so important in community development. It is the fabric that knits us together. So this is a place, again, where we can dance and we can celebrate our important events. We can have our cultural institutions in our community put on major performances. That was the primary dream of the Abyssinian Development Corporation, and bringing the Rennie back to life. In order to do that, it has to be economically feasible and viable. We've owned this building for 20 years, and our dream has been to bring the Rennie back to life. But it could not support itself financially as a standalone cultural space. So what we're also going to have are commercial spaces on the ground floor where our local business people can have affordable, good quality space. And we're also going to be building much needed housing. What we appreciate in our neighborhood, in our community, is that we need a mix of affordability. That the median income in the Abyssinian neighborhood, the three blocks that surround the church, is $15,000 a year. We appreciate that that is not healthy, and it's not sustainable for the long term. We need a mix of incomes in that neighborhood.
We have about a minute left. Michael Henry Adams was predicting that much of the population there, of all places, at 138th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard, would wind up being wealthier non-white, non-black people, mostly white people. Do you think that will be the case?
Not in our projects. That's not what our mission is. That's not what we have done. That's not what our track record has proven over the years. And that's not what we intend to do.
When do you think that the Renaissance Ballroom, in its renovated state, will be open for events?
Our goal is that the church is actually celebrating its 200th anniversary in November of 2008. That's a very ambitious goal. You know, we would love to be celebrating in the Rennie at that time, but most likely it'll be ready in the first quarter of 2009.
And that's where we have to leave it. Good luck with the project. This decision has been made. It is not being landmarked. It is going ahead your way. So good luck with it. We hope it's everything that you dream it might be.
Thanks so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Leonard Lopate Show coming up, but we will also go live to the John Edwards News Conference, expected momentarily when it begins. It's scheduled for noon, in which he may drop out, at least for now, of the presidential race because of the health of his wife. So stay tuned to WNYC.